Good afternoon. Today I'll be talking about dietary patterns, fasting glucose, BMI, and waist circumference in U.S. adolescents using NHANES data. To give you a brief background, there's been an increasing prevalence of impaired fasting glucose and obesity among U.S. adolescents. With data furthering the understanding of the relationship between diet obesity and impaired fasting glucose are sparse. So the objective of this study was to identify dietary patterns in U.S. adolescents using principal component analysis and to quantify the effect of these patterns on fasting glucose levels, waist circumference, and BMI. We hypothesized that two major dietary patterns would emerge as a result of our analysis, a Western pattern and a healthy pattern. This hypothesis is based upon work done by Curver et al. Using NHANES data in U.S. adults. They identified two major dietary patterns, the Western pattern and the American healthy pattern. So the Western pattern that they identified in adults using NHANES data consisted of processed meats, eggs, red meats, high-fat dairy, and high-fat dairy products. And the American healthy pattern was characterized by green leafy vegetables, salad dressings, tomatoes, other vegetables, cruciferous vegetables, and tea. The Western pattern had a positive association with serum insulin and glycated hemoglobin, while the American healthy pattern had no relationship with any of the biomarkers they examined. The extent to which these findings are generalizable to an adolescent population remains unclear. So we hypothesize that among NHANES adolescents, the Western pattern will be associated with increased glucose levels, waist circumference, and BMI, and that the healthy pattern that we find will be associated with a decrease in those outcome variables. So there are many different approaches to studying diet in relation to disease risk. So I just want to spend a minute talking about the dietary pattern approach. This cartoon points to a major advantage of using a dietary pattern approach to study diet-disease relationships. Namely, people don't eat or think about their foods in terms of isolated nutrients, but rather consume combinations of foods consisting of multiple nutrients. Additionally, dietary patterns account for combinations of nutrients that may be interactive or synergistic, and they create uncorrelated patterns for many highly correlated nutrients that may have small or undetectable effects on disease risk when considered alone. So as I mentioned, I used data from NHANES from 2001 to 2004. Dietary data was based on a 24-hour recall administered by NHANES personnel in their mobile examination center. Study outcome variables were also collected in the mobile examination center, and urine was used to assess pregnancy status. Demographic characteristics and physical activity were collected via interview in participants' homes. So 4,790 adolescents aged 12 to 19 were interviewed from 2001 to 2004. 3,769 were asked to provide fasting blood work. 98 refused. 268 were pregnant or were female and had missing values for their pregnancy status. 28 had self-reported diabetes, were taking medications for diabetes, or had fasting glucose levels above 126 milligrams per deciliter. And 1,528 did not fast for at least 8 hours before measurement of their glucose levels. So we ended up having 1,847 participants for our study sample. So each food from the 24-hour recall was assigned a USDA food code by NHANES. Foods were then grouped based upon nutrient profile or culinary use and were then adjusted for total energy intake using the residual method before using them in the principal component analysis. Briefly, principal component analysis is a data reduction technique that creates uncorrelated summary variables or principal components from a set of correlated original variables. And this technique is based on the correlation matrix of the food groups. To account for the sampling design of NHANES, we used a correlation matrix based upon the weighted data of our 40 food groups. After pooling the variance within the sample strata by using PROC-GLM in SAS. And the correlation matrix was then used in the factor procedure. The resulting factors were rotated by an orthogonal transformation to achieve simpler structure that facilitates interpretability. And to determine the number of factors to retain, we considered eigenvalues greater than 1, the Scree test, and interpretability of the factors. Factor loadings above 0.2 were used to assign food groups to their most appropriate factor. And we used Sudan to get adjusted least mean square values of our outcome variables. So you can see this sample represents over 31 million U.S. adolescents. The sample is predominantly white non-Hispanic, with about 14% black non-Hispanic, 16% Hispanic, and 5% other race. Approximately 21% of the sample had a household income below the poverty line. The prevalence of impaired fasting glucose, defined as fasting plasma glucose levels greater than 100 milligrams per deciliter, was 11.8% in the entire study sample, which is consistent with previous estimates in adolescents. You can see here as well that the prevalence is much higher in males than in females. This is also consistent with previous estimates. Usually, impaired glucose tolerance is higher in females. I'm not sure of the mechanism behind that. So two main patterns resulted from our analyses, and this table displays the main factor loadings that discriminate between the two patterns. So the American healthy pattern is characterized by high green leafy vegetable intake of other vegetables, tomatoes, fruit, and salad dressing, and low intake of high energy drinks and burgers. The Western pattern is characterized by high intake of potatoes, and this also includes French fries, burgers, condiments, and low intakes of breakfast cereal and low-fat dairy. The results from adjusted linear regression analyses show waist circumference increasing across quintiles of the Western dietary pattern and decreasing across quintiles of the American healthy pattern. BMI similarly increases across quintiles of the Western dietary pattern and decreases slightly across quintiles of the American healthy pattern. There doesn't seem to be really any association with glucose levels in either of the patterns. There are some limitations that I should mention for this study. First and foremost, principal component analysis is usually performed on food frequency questionnaire data, as food frequency questionnaires ask individuals for their usual long-term intake. We based our analyses on one 24-hour recall, so it's likely that our diets may not be representative of long-term intake. Additionally, NHANES uses a cross-sectional design, so any results that we find in our study need to be confirmed using longitudinal methods. So in conclusion, two major dietary patterns were derived among U.S. adolescents. The American healthy pattern in adolescents was similar to U.S. adults in terms of green leafy vegetable intake, other vegetables, tomato, and salad dressing, but it has a stronger negative association with high energy drinks and positive association with fruit than among U.S. adults. This pattern also has a negative association with intake of burgers and a stronger positive association with intake of red meat than the American healthy pattern. We actually, in the adult analysis, they lumped all red meats together into one group, and we decided to have a separate group for burgers because we thought there could potentially be a different relationship there. The Western pattern in U.S. adolescents was similar to that in U.S. adults in terms of having a positive association with potato intake, red meat, and processed meat, although the correlation with red meat and processed meat was higher in the adult population. Burger intake was also positively associated with this pattern, and correspondingly condiment intake. Condiments were actually not included as a food group in the adult analysis. The adolescent Western pattern has a stronger negative correlation with low-fat dairy products and a unique negative correlation with breakfast cereal. And finally, high-fat dairy and eggs were not associated with the adolescent Western pattern. So the Western pattern was associated with increased BMI and waist circumference. The American healthy pattern was associated with a non-significant trend toward decreased BMI and waist circumference. And there seemed to be no association of either pattern with glucose levels. These results may be explained by the young age of our study population. At this early stage of life, glucose may not be affected by dietary intake as much, but over time, with adherence to the patterns, you may expect to see some relationship. Also, there's room for improvement in the U.S. adolescent diet. So even the healthy pattern was associated with intake of red meat, processed meat, and refined grains. So if the U.S. Adolescent healthy pattern were healthier, you might expect to see stronger associations with decreased BMI and waist circumference. There is evidence from previous studies that dietary patterns during adolescence may be more important than adult dietary intake in the etiology of many chronic diseases. Therefore, intervention during this period is critical. And there is evidence from other previous studies to suggest that dietary patterns persist from childhood into adulthood. Future directions. The 2005-2006 NHANES food frequency questionnaire data will be available, hopefully, sometime soon. I plan to pull that with the 2003-2004 food frequency questionnaire data to repeat the analyses to see how robust our findings are. There are also two other methods, partial least squares regression and reduced rank regression, that have been proposed to derive dietary patterns. These allow for patterns to explain variation in key nutrients or biomarkers that are hypothesized to be related to your outcome of interest, as well as variations in food groups, potentially increasing the likelihood that your patterns will be related to outcomes of interest. So those can also be explored in the NHANES data. I would like to acknowledge the contributing authors on the abstract, Kate LePayne, Anna Baylen, and Karen Schneider. This work was supported by a grant from Dr. Baylen through the National Institute of Health, and give special thanks to Dr. Jean M. Kerver from Michigan State University for sharing SAS code for the weighted analyses for PCA.